Today's scripture comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. We're going to read together in one voice. One, two, go. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyments. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for their coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Amen. Okay, welcome to English service once again. I feel like it's a pretty much it's been a long time since I spoke to you in here, and also for a couple of months, I didn't come here because of my hands are tied up with the KM Ministries down there. So feel like I'm new and newcomers. Okay. Let me begin my sermon with one question. What are you most interested in these days? And people tend to invest their time and energy and effort into things that they interest in. So the way to know who I am is easy to figure out if I know what I really interest about, concerned about. And sometimes people tend to pay too much attention on material things they can see. And in general, the men were shown to be interested in purchasing sports and leisure, the related products. And women were shown to be interested in fashion and household goods. And for parents, some of the parents, often take their children's future so seriously and that all attention is focused on their education, their children's education the most. And how about you? I'm hoping that none of you here will be like that. And I think it is natural, it is so natural for Christians to be interested in God and the gospel, missions, and new life. Nobody say amen? But not all Christians seem to be interested in spiritual things. Surprisingly, a lot of Christians, sometimes including me, tend to be interested in material things like people in the world. And so, if your major interests are focused on non-eternal worldly things, and it would be no exaggeration to say that as a Christian, you may be wasting your life, wasting your time. If you do not want to waste your time, waste your life, and as a Christian, you should change your interests as soon as possible. And if you turn your attention and from worldly things and begin to focus on eternal things, and your life will be more mature and fruitful. I can guarantee you. There is no problem in meaning if the word interest is replaced with the word hope in today's text. The difference is that the word hope has a theological connotation. A theological definition of hope can be defined as a belief that gives us the strength to overcome the difficulties in our lives that we are facing in everyday life. So, hope enables us to the future, enables us to look to the future with a positive mind during present hardships and difficulties. No matter how difficult life is, people who has a hope in their minds and people who puts a hope in God, they always live their life with a gratitude and joy, because success And failure in present time is not that important for them. In other words, those who have a hope for the future have the belief that the future will be better and brighter than the present. And with this belief, they will be able to overcome difficulties of present times. And just as you can know what kind of a person you are by checking what you care about, now you can figure out your true spiritual side by checking that what you have hope for. Also, depending on what you set your hope for, you will be able to distinguish the whether you are a follower of God and Jesus Christ and a follower of the Word. In verse 17, we already read today's text. Apostle Paul is talking about hope. Let's read it together in one voice one more time. One, two, go. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provide us with everything for our enjoyment. The hearing these words, many of you here will feel relief. You need to breathe a sigh of relief. And I don't think it has anything to do with what Paul is saying, because I'm not rich. But, however, this is wrong idea. And everyone here is rich, because our Father in heaven is rich. Then we, as a children of God, are also rich. Whether you agree or not, you and I are all rich. Amen? So this statement should apply to all of us in here. And now, let's apply this lesson of verse 17 more concretely to our lives. The first, okay, Paul from this in this passage, Paul wants us not to put our hope in wealth, because wealth is uncertain. Uncertain meaning is unstable. As you guys know, that the characteristic of wealth is that no matter how hard you try to grab it, and you cannot grab it. It's like a mirage that disappears when you think you have it. Conversely, if you use it for others and share it with others, and it should be plentiful, and then you can be rich. Many people think that money is dirty. But in fact, it is not money itself. But the hearts of the people who love money is dirty. Money is what we need to live in this world. Without money, life is so inconvenient. But the love of money always pollutes us, our hearts, and make us dwell in sin. That is why Paul say in verse 18, do not just hold on to wealth, but do many good works, so that you may be generous and willing to share. So in order for us to share, and in order for us to be generous to give, okay, we have to do many good works, as Paul mentioned in this passage. Everyone, including me in here, in this room, may agree with what Paul mentioned in verse 18. But many of us have a question about what kinds of good works Paul specially talks about in here. Do not think of a good works as simply philanthropical work done by non-profit organizations such as NGOs. The good works mentioned by Apostle Paul means extending the kingdom of God by providing salvation to the lost and sharing the love of Christ to the poor and marginalized. And let me share one story that I experienced a long time ago to explain more about the good works that Paul mentioned about in here. And I met one missionary in Morocco. And actually, he came from Netherlands. In 2018, when I went on mission to Morocco with a special team for the disabled, our team met a unique man, and his name is Louis, and he's from Netherlands. And he had been caring for disabled Muslims for many, many years at the local disabled center in Morocco. And that center was very old and inconvenient. And the number of staffs and the teachers were so insufficient, and so that they need the help from outside desperately. And some of our team members, including me, and spent two nights at Louis' house. And his house was too old and uncomfortable, inconvenient. There was no enough hot water in the bathroom, and then I could not take a shower every day. And then also there was no fan and no air conditioners. And so we having a tough time. We had a tough time during the mission, the trip. But even though physically we went through the tough time, and our hearts and our minds and our soul was filled with joy and gratitude. Because my team members, including me, our hearts moved by Louis' devoted life for the disabled. And his outward looking looked very scary and unkind. However, he was a devoted friend and a father of all the disabled people in the center. And he shared not only the word of God, and but also spent all his time and then all his works for disabled people in the center. His good works and that sharing the love of Jesus Christ and was a whole part of his life, his everyday life. And then he personally, I believe, he put into practice the word Paul gave today. And I and all team members and were able to meet Jesus Christ through Louis' life. I believe he showed us the good deeds, good works that Paul mentioned about in verse 18. Okay, second, Paul commands us to put your hope in God instead of the world. The reason we put hope for worldly things instead of having hope in God is because we do not know who God is. God is the owner of this universe, right? And who created and owns all things in this world. And goodness is that the owner of heaven and earth, God, always wants to share what he has with us. And he wants to also enjoy everything that he gave us to have an abundant life. Do you know why? Because God loves us. God loves us. That is why he wants to give us more and more. Let me ask you a stupid question. Which one is more important for you? Money or the one who gives the money? The giver of money is more important, right? Yeah. God is the one who gives us all kinds of material things, including money. That is why, therefore, God is more important than any other material things, money in this world. So when you know that God is ultimate giver of everything that we need, we automatically putting our hope in God. In James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. In this Bible passage, and Paul teaches us that there is an order of what we need to ask God. What we need to ask God. In this verse, we need to ask for wisdom from God
first, who gives generously and does not rebuke us. It tells us that what we should ask from God is wisdom before we ask for the wealth. But please remember that God gave not only wisdom, but also wealth. And when we ask the wisdom to God, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13 said, okay, and it's about King Solomon. So when King Solomon asked for the wisdom, and God gave him not only wisdom, but also wealth. Okay, I'm going to read a Bible passage. Yeah, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among God. When Solomon asked God for wisdom, God gave him wealth and honor at the same time. So we need to ask wisdom, ask God the wisdom first, and instead of asking the wealth. That's the kind of a way of taking both, right? And thirdly, okay, what will happen if we do not put our hope in God? Definitely, we put our hope in ourselves. A person who puts hope in himself that become very prideful and turns away from God so easily. That is why Paul said, "You who are rich in this generation, do not be arrogant your heart." In the first question of Westminster Shorter Catechism, it is written that the supreme purpose of human existence is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To glorify God does not mean that we can elevate God's name and make Him marvelous being with our own wisdom and power. And since God has already been glorified by Himself and has been glorified from eternity, there is nothing and no one can glorify God in this world. Therefore, the meaning of glorifying God should be understood in the sense of reflecting the glory of God. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 says like this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands." In this way, the beautiful world that God created is like a mirror. And if you look into the mirror, that you can see the glory of God. Just as the main purpose of all heaven and earth is to proclaim and show the glory of God, the main purpose of human being, including us, is to proclaim and reveal the glory of God to the world through our daily life. That's the purpose of you and I. When you focus all our thoughts and hearts and mind on God alone, and actively and voluntarily follow His will under any circumstances, the glory of God is revealed in our lives and proclaimed to the world automatically. Please remember that only those who have put all their hope in God can reveal the glory of God to the world. Conversely, those who have not put their hope in God can never glorify God and enjoy Him. Okay, let me conclude my sermon. Verse 19 tells us that the blessings given to those who put their hope in God will build a good foundation for themselves so that they may receive true life. Let us read verse 19 one more time all together. 1, 2, go. "In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming ages, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Amen. In here, good ground, good foundation can be interpreted as the heaven. And true life can be interpreted as eternal life. So, this verse, verse 19, means that a person who put hope in God can lay up treasure in heaven, where is an eternal place. And there is a similar word in Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Let me read it by this verse. Sell your possession and give to the poor. Provide a purse for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, the where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Heaven is a safe place where the things we build up will not perish. Only those who have a hope in God are qualified to store up treasure in this safe place, heaven. Where do you want to put up your treasure? In here, in this world, or heaven? Which one is more safer? I'm hoping that you will become believers who keep in mind the fact that only those who have a hope in God, and they can glorify God and have a true life to store up treasure in heaven. I'm hoping that you guys all like that. You guys be all like that. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving this worship service to listen to your word. Lord, let us discern our hearts and minds that what we are truly concerned about in our daily lives. Even though we called Christian, sometimes we put our hearts, put our minds in worldly things like people in the world. Lord, help us put our hearts and minds and thoughts in you only, so that we can store up our treasure in heaven, the eternal place. Lord, bless us, encourage us, so that our everyday, daily life is glorify your name. Thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.